And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership for the buzz. It is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Baseball's got me feeling good. Let me tell you why. Detroit Tigers 13, Chicago White Sox 1. Detroit Tigers 40-21, first team to hit 40 wins. Chicago White Sox 18-42, suckiest team this side of the Colorado Rockies. And I'm going to breathe this in every single day of this summer and fall. Every single day I'm going to breathe it in. Ryan from Chicago, I welcome your thoughts.
Wow. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that hates the Chicago White Sox to the level that you do.
Oh God. I don't know how people couldn't hate them.
Apparently not. But I mean, they've been such an easy target over the last, 20 years.
Yeah.
Been terrible for a long time.
But 20 years ago, it still hurts, you know? So, like, I don't appreciate the 1919 Chicago Black Sox and what they did.
Well, I wouldn't either. You were a young pup at that time, so.
Yeah.
It sticks with you.
Tell you what, man. Talk about, but the trolls came out for that stuff. Yeah. Those guys are Shoeless Joe he had to get a burner account.
You know, one of my all time least favorite athletes, that Shoeless Joe out there. Can't stand that guy.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing great, guys. Thanks. Beautiful sunset or sunrise this morning on my way in. So.
Yes.
Starting the day off great.
Serene. You were in the pre-show meeting.
I would estimate
that
about 27% of the year when we get up, it's actually sunlight outside. 27%
really?
Is my official estimate.
Okay.
And I like it. I like that 27%.
Yeah, I do too, but I would love to take that sunlight personally and push it to later. That's just me. That's one of my few quibbles is that, you know, we don't really get like late sunlight days in the summer.
It's true.
But, yeah, it's nice.
I mean, Michigan, depending on where you're at, right? I mean, they've got sunlight to like 10 o'clock up there, don't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm from West Michigan, so west of here, but in the eastern time zone.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're out playing, you know, playing hoops or playing wiffle ball with no need for lights until like 10, 15.
It's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Some people hate that. I would love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
It did suck when you were little and had to go to bed in the summer, and it was like
still light outside.
Yeah, it was 5 p.m. But other than that, it's pretty great.
We got a lot of things to get to on the program today. Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into Tennessee and their victory over Wake Forest with him. Dan Rosen from NHL.com will be with us at 8:30. We'll get into the Stanley Cup Final with him coming up later in the show. Stanley Cup Final beginning tomorrow in Edmonton, and a rematch between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. We've got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up later at 7:45. Take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, Tennessee punches their ticket to the Super Regionals for the fifth consecutive time and the seventh overall time in the history of their program. They went 11-5 against Wake Forest last night. A game that they fell behind 2-0, and then it had a fourth-inning explosion where they scored 7 runs. They were up 8-2 at one point, and it never really got a whole lot closer. I think it was 8-5 at one point, and then they blew it back open to 11-5. So Tennessee gets the win last night. They punched their ticket to the Super Regionals where they'll take on Arkansas. Had some big hits last night throughout the lineup. Liam Doyle came in and gave him just over 2 innings of work, and he was electric on the mound when he came in. So good stuff from the Vols last night. They punched their ticket, and it's not total depression around here in terms of regional baseball. Tennessee gets it done, and they will be taking on Arkansas in the Super Regional.
Well, it's triple depression for some people.
It is.
So, yes. Yeah, so now I immediately saw some some Vol Twitter members tagging various Vanderbilt accounts, you know. How's it going? How we feeling at Vandy Barstool, et cetera, et cetera.
We knew it would happen.
Yep. So now good for the Vols. They, it's We talked yesterday about Vanderbilt, you know, four straight years not getting to the Supers. Tennessee, five straight years getting to the Supers. I mean, you can't, as close as it is overall, you know, team quality, this year Vanderbilt beat Tennessee. It's not close when it comes to playing at the most important time of the year. It's just not at all. And so Tennessee, you know, Wake gets on the board first, and they've got a pretty good collection of arms that they're able to throw, but Tennessee comes up big with a lot of huge hits in that game. And good, you know, good for the Vols, just setting up what I think is the most intriguing Super of the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. And you've talked about this in terms of maybe the most talented teams. You could certainly make the argument, two of the most talented teams playing against each other in the Supers coming up, the winner going to the College World Series between Tennessee and Arkansas. And to your point, I mean, this is another example of Tennessee baseball and Tony Vitello getting his team to play some of their best ball when it matters the most. And it hasn't always been the case, right? Like, you think back to 2022 and that team, and they did not get it done in the postseason. They did not even get to Omaha after having one of the best regular seasons in the history of the sport. So it hasn't always been that way, but more often than not lately, they have played really well in high-pressure situations. Obviously, last year, winning the national championship. But even before that, like, they had some big moments in the Supers, and some big moments at home in the regional, and they punched their ticket to the Supers again. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. I would assume that Arkansas at home is going to be the favorite against Tennessee to advance and to get to the College World Series as the 3 seed, and Tennessee being the 14. We'll see where it goes from here, but an impressive performance last night from the Vols. When they fell behind 2-0, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then they had just an absolute monster of a fourth inning, and you kind of felt like they were in good shape after that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got a lot, you know, they've just got it's a very difficult lineup to navigate. And, you know, I think a big key for Tennessee is going to be, you know, finding enough pitching. But Liam Doyle, and, you know, this is, you can question this. I mean, we actually had, you know, one of our MLB people, like, in Slack last night, like, why is Liam Doyle coming out when he just threw like 106 pitches? And of course, as Tony Vitello said, he's been pushing to come out, and he just came out and just took care of things at the end of the game. I don't even know how many pitches he ended up throwing it, but it was like, man, that's I was surprised.
31.
Well, how much? 31?
31.
Yeah. I mean, that's not crazy. You know, some people would say, yeah, you're about to, you know, get an $11 million, you're in an $11 million slot. Like, some agents would be like, nah, man, don't do that to my guy. But he came out and did a great job. And, you know, look, he struggled a little bit recently, but you get that guy looking like the dominant pitcher that he can be, and all of a sudden things look different for Tennessee. So, again, you got to still get enough guys, but they have enough arms along with a, you know, a fearsome lineup to win this weekend and win after that. It's going to be, I think, really close in Arkansas.
Well, and, you know, this has been a Tennessee team that obviously has struggled a little bit down the stretch in the regular season, and home field, which has meant so much to them over the last few years, really hasn't throughout the course of this regular season. They've not played overly well at home. So, you know, you had an opportunity on Sunday to just go ahead and take care of it and punch your ticket and get there. And, you know, there was a little bit of high pressure on this team heading into this last night in terms of just, you know, things have not always gone well. They've not always handled, you know, some of these Sunday games throughout the season well. And you get to a point with the pitching where you start to worry about it a little bit, I think, with this roster. But they stepped up, pitched well enough last night. As you said, Doyle came in later in the game. And, you know, now we'll see where they go from here. It's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, how – I would assume they're playing Friday, right? Like, I can't find a schedule anywhere. So,
yeah, it's really ridiculous that they don't – you know, just like in any other sport, like, you know, as soon as the games end in hockey or whatever, it's okay, we're going to get the schedule late tonight. And I haven't seen one yet either. It's possible they could do a Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There, some of these will be – I feel like usually it's about 5-3, maybe 6-2.
Yep.
So two or three of these will start Saturday and could go to Monday. But, I don't know. I mean, this is, to me, easily the most attractive of the Supers. There's some, I mean, we got some Cinderella going on here with Murray State beating Ole Miss and UTSA beating Texas. So,
but it looked like Little Rock was going to take down LSU for a little while, and then LSU came back last night.
Which is good for the SEC, right? The ACC has five teams in the Supers. The SEC has four, and we know that one of them is going to lose.
Right.
We know that Arkansas and Tennessee both can't be in Omaha, which is a shame, honestly. And you look at the bracket, man, they didn't have to be this way. I mean, I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to be Greg Sankey Jr. here, but that's tough that they lined. I mean, it's an exciting Super, but also, like, Arkansas and Tennessee are both good enough to be in Omaha. And it'd be kind of nice if it didn't have to be SEC against SEC, but that's what it is. So, LSU, West Virginia, and then Auburn. Auburn, Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
Coastal Carolina, man, watch out for them, man. They're no joke. So that's not a Cinderella for people who don't follow college baseball.
Coastal Carolina survived Florida's coaching tirade over the weekend, too, which was good to see.
Yeah. Was he screaming at, like,
buffet site workers. Officials and all this stuff? It's like, geez, man.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I know, man. Tell you what, we got some coaches yelling
Florida
some AD stuff.
Had to release a statement yesterday.
Yeah, we'll probably have a Wake Forest AD release a statement today, too. Yeah, those people screaming some stuff out here.
Stuff being
These
screamed.
Baseball coaches, I tell you what.
There's some interesting stuff going on. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tennessee punches their ticket to the Super Regional. We'll take your thoughts on the win last night for the Vols, the matchup against Arkansas coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game.
Yeah, it's tough to describe the energy that was in the building tonight. It was a little bit different. Maybe they listened to Fish, but I don't even know if the numbers were bigger because it was a Monday, but the energy was insane. Our guys' response to being down was equally insane, but probably the biggest thing I think were guys doing things they struggled throughout the year doing, you know, well, 1 through 9, and then our guys that are just willing to take the ball. It's a weird – I'm telling you, it is a weird deal on this staff to have that many guys that want the ball no matter what day it is or what the circumstances are. Snead was willing to go 100 pitches today. I feel for the guys that didn't get action because everybody was available. Marcus Phillips, you know, it would have had to be like, I don't know. And even Arv was joking around about being out there. So I know it's in a unique way because, you know, Frank is pretty hard on these guys and he gets results out of it. But there's a lot of trust and a lot of love there between the pitchers and Coach A. And, of course, there's other people that help out too. So maybe that's got something to do with it, that they want to pitch for the boys and not just themselves, which I greatly appreciate and benefited from today as well.
That was Tennessee head coach and friend of the program, Tony Vitello, after Tennessee's win against Wake Forest last night.
So when he said maybe they listened to Fish, I'm like, the band Fish? That doesn't say,
cause believe
that, you. Now I had a flashback to last year when he's like, I swear I don't do drugs, but I went to the Stone Temple Pilots concert. We got to find that quote again. It was right after they won it all. God, that was great.
It was good.
But
I believe he's referring to Andrew Fisher. Yes.
Yeah, it clicked into my brain. Speaking of coaches yelling things, yeah, it clicked into my brain. Fish being Andrew Fisher. I'm like, I don't know, Tony. I don't know if Fish would totally be the, like, get jacked up for a game, but hey, man, you do you.
Hey. Different strokes for different folks, man. Yeah. Maybe sometimes you need to listen to a little Fish. You get fired up before the game.
I mean, I've always wanted to go to a Fish show, and I've never gone.
Hey, well.
Maybe Tony will want to go sometime.
Maybe so. Well, you know, Andrew Fisher has been pretty active on social media, trying to get the fans to get out there and get rocking. And apparently they did that last night.
Yeah, his tweet was like, it was like, you know, bring your loud uncle, tailgate extra hard, whatever it takes. I was like, that's a pretty good tweet. He didn't capitalize any of the letters at the beginning of sentences.
Come on, Andrew.
That's my quibble. But other than that, great tweet.
But, I mean, it did, you know, there were some broadcast issues on the ESPN Plus part of this last night. So the first part of the game for me was a little bit wonky. So I couldn't really tell you what the atmosphere was like to begin with because I couldn't hear anything. But it did, you know, as time went on in the game, Joe, the volume was working. I could hear what was going on in the broadcast. It was nice. And it did seem like a pretty good crowd last night at Lindsey Delsham Stadium, as you would expect this time of year when the regionals come around. You know, people, there have been some conversations. I saw Vol Twitter throughout the season, having a couple of these conversations about how the atmosphere hasn't been the same this year. And I wonder, like, if has Tennessee at home been maybe a victim of their own success over the past few years? Of they've won so many games at home, and you're coming off a national championship, that maybe the crowd hasn't brought the same energy throughout the year, but apparently they did last night, according to Vitello.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I guess they didn't have the they haven't had the Billy Squire stuff this year. That, you know, you lost that. You've got the nice sort of like bar out now out in left field. You know, the umbrellas, and you're kind of just, I don't know. I mean, there's more people, but you know, I guess that always that's a typical thing. Brings me to a story that I'm sure I've told before, but it just comes to mind. You know, Charles Robinson, as a student journalist, the Izzone was like incredible, you know, crazy, like the Izzone's first Final Four. And then the year they actually won it all, Charles worked for the student paper, and he wrote how like the Izzone just isn't the same anymore. But the headline was, you know, the newspaper, and it's like a slim headline. It said, "Earth to Izzone, colon, you stink." And I'm not kidding you that I had to walk with Charles. I walked with him to his seat on press row, and some of these kids were throwing batteries at him.
Jeez. Did you get hit by a battery?
No, but like it wasn't far. I mean, it was
close. Talking like double A's?
I was like his bodyguard.
We talking car battery?
I think we're talking, well, no, but we're talking like C's and D's. Okay. Like these are like some bigger batteries.
Wow.
I'll have to ask him about that sometime.
Well.
So this is what happens. You have this, oh my God, this atmosphere is amazing. And then it's like, okay, they've gotten entitled, and it's just not as, it's just not the same. But I don't know, it seemed to me.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it seems pretty good to me. Now it's going to be really good this weekend too in Arkansas. But again, that's the thing about baseball is, you know, crowds can really, they can really affect, I mean, college basketball more than anything.
Yep.
And probably.
It can affect football.
It can affect football.
Just more for like snap count and stuff like that.
But I still feel like I'd probably put college basketball and then NBA as the top two where crowd can, I don't know. Sometimes college, so there are some college football crowds that definitely.
I'd probably go college football number two.
Maybe the two college sports, yeah. But in baseball, to me, baseball is like hockey, which is kind of like, you know, if you're playing like.
Well, also, like if to me in baseball, like there's such an opportunity if you're the road team's pitcher to just totally shut them up.
That's right.
Right? Like if he's on, then it doesn't really matter what everybody else is doing, right? Like if they can't hit him. It's hard for the crowd to sustain that throughout the course of things.
Yeah. Now, if the home team has a pitcher dominating, then that, you know, that can probably get in the heads a little bit of the hitters. But, yeah. Tennessee, I mean, so it's going to be a great scene this weekend. But, you know, Tennessee has the guys to go in there and win.
What did Tim Corbin tell us about Arkansas one time? He was like, you know, if you go to a place where they've got, you know, hogs on their face, like people, grown men wearing a pig mask, you know you're in a different place, I think is the quote he had.
Yeah.
I was
like, yep. It's a different place.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe Cal will be out there doing a little woo pig suey.
Calling the hogs?
Yeah.
It's really stunning to me that there's not been video of him doing this yet.
By the way, did I tell you that I just took a flight with him?
No.
I totally forgot that. Part of my adventures, you know, Mitch Light and I actually were on the same flight back. We took it back from New Jersey home, you know, like the airport where they have like one air traffic controller. And, yeah. And Cal was on our flight. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was just saying,
did you say
hey,
hi?
No. I just looked at him. He was up there, you know, in first class.
Of course he was.
Or whatever. I don't know if it's even, I don't know if United even has first class, but yeah. Flew home with Cal.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. There's just a lot of random things we're talking about in this segment right now.
What's going on? Hey, babe. That all ties back to Arkansas there, though.
It does.
Well, you missed an opportunity. You should ask him if he's called the hogs yet while you're out there.
Yeah.
There's no video.
Well, yeah, I think if and when he does, we'll all know, right? That's
going to
be a big moment. It's really weak. In seriousness, it's weak.
I totally
that he hasn't
agree.
Done it.
He should have done it the first day.
I mean, come on, man. You know, you're going to get paid that kind of money. You're going to get a chunk of the Tyson chicken empire. You can call the hogs.
How you think we got some spiciness potential here between Vitello and Tennessee and going back to Arkansas here for the Supers?
Well, Vitello and Dave Van Horn got into a screaming match with each other, what was that, 3 years ago? Something like 3-4 years ago, something like that. Of course, you know, if people don't know, Vitello was his assistant. That's how he got the job at Tennessee. You know, he was his recruiting coordinator, I believe, and, you know, top assistant. They did make up at some point, like publicly, like, yeah, where everything's all good. It was about, I think it was really about recruiting was what the argument was about. So, but we'll see. It gets spicy, man. I mean,
kind of feels like a powder keg that they're walking into.
Yeah, and it could get intense there between the benches. I mean, Vitello, you know, the cameras just find him all the time, and like seriously, just about every ball or strike call that he doesn't like. I mean, again, the camera doesn't find him every time, but every time it does, he's either like laughing at the ump or he's like, okay, all right, buddy.
He did it last night on like the third to last pitch of the game.
Yeah.
It looked like Doyle struck somebody out and he was checking with the ump and he just started laughing. Like,
yeah, exactly. And then you got Frank Anderson, who I think if your strike zone as a ump is not like from the top of the head to the feet and this wide, he's going to scream at you like that guy. He must just hate umpires. I don't know,
man.
But they wear people out. So, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Maybe we'll get a little fireworks between the coaches.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun between Tennessee and Arkansas. Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 will be with us later in the program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into the Titans coming up next. And I've got some buy or sell items for Joe and Ian to run through here. I think it'll be interesting. We'll get your thoughts on them as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rowe, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And it's time for a little Tennessee Titans buy or sell here on the program. I've got some thoughts and or questions to throw out there that I want to get Joe and Ian's thoughts on here coming up. So let's start here. And I have made this line up myself because there's nowhere that I could possibly find this. But we're gonna try it anyway. All right. The two rookie receivers that they just drafted. So take Restrepo out of this because I'm sure we're going to continue to talk about him as
an
undrafted free agent as we get closer to training camp here. But I'm going strictly DK and Io Manor here will combine for more than 875 yards. 875 yards. I'm not going crazy here about like one of them getting 1,000 yards or anything this season. I'm saying combined, will they have more than 875 yards receiving? Do you buy or do you sell Joe Rexrod?
I think you put that at a good nine. I guarantee you there are some people here that are like, what are you way past that? But, you know, it's so easy to see like one of them kind of not really being in the rotation. I think that's very possible. As thin as this receiving core is, you know, there's still, I don't know, like how Bryce Oliver, Van Jefferson, guys like that are going to factor in and compare to these guys.
Yep.
That said, I will buy because I feel pretty good about one of them at least being about a 600-yard guy. And even if the other one is just sort of, you know, sparingly used, I think they'll combine for that number. So I'll buy.
Going a buy of more than 875 yards. Ian, are you buying or are you selling more than 875 yards combined for Io Manor and DK this year?
That is That's pretty good. I mean, that's right around 400, right? 450 a piece. Yep. If you look at it that way, I do
432 and a half.
I do wonder if
thank you.
You know, if it's possible one's like 6-2, or if it is closer to a 4-4 split. I'm curious to see how that would go. If it makes, I'm actually going to take the under though.
I think I'm selling as well. Mm. You know, I think I'm going to take this approach with Titans wide receivers, particularly young ones. Show me you can do it, and then I'll start worrying about all that other stuff, right? Like, I look at their room right now. You've got Ridley. You've got Lockett, who I think are going to play a lot, obviously. My guess is it's probably going to be Io Manor that slots in as that third one, but I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe it is DK. Maybe DK ends up being a big play guy and he gets big chunks of yardage throughout the season. Maybe the volume's not quite there, but he ends up as kind of their deeper threat guy that, you know, we know how good he was down the field, kind of running those crossing routes at Florida. So maybe you get some of that. I'll go under. I'll go slightly under. I think they'll end up probably around 800, somewhere in that area, which may be disappointing to some Titans fans. I need to see it with some of these guys. And again, you know, keep in mind, I know it's hard to do, but the way we talk about these guys sometimes, they are fourth round picks. You know, this is not like this is high level draft picks that they've had. I do think both of them have a chance to carve out some good roles for themselves in this offense. And just because you're a fourth round pick doesn't mean anything by the time that, you know, the game start. I get all that, but I do think sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves in these conversations. I will sell at 875.
By the way, it's three. My math was wrong. What did I say?
You said 432 and a half.
Yeah, it's 437 and a half.
Okay.
Sorry.
Close enough.
We got to remember these. We have to remember these.
Okay.
You know,
we can do that.
We can
revisit.
You do a good job with these every year, but then we have to remember. So everybody out there, remember, 875 at the end of the year.
There we go. Okay, this is a line that I did not set. This was on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So if you have a problem with this line, take your grievances to them. Cam Ward will throw for more than 3,200 yards. 3,200 yards. His over-under is 3,200 and a half. So he will throw for more than 3,200 yards. Ian Safar, we begin with you. Do you buy or do you sell?
3,200?
That is correct.
Man. I mean, in the NFL, that's pretty low for the Titans. I'm going to sell, though. The way it's going on, you know, it's the track record, I'll sell.
It comes down to about 188 per game.
I was going to say, it's less than 200 a game. So if you tell me, if you throw me that number and then you tell me that he's going to be available for all 17 games, then I feel pretty good about buying. I'll buy. Just, you know, assuming health, with any of these things, you assume health, unless you're talking about someone who just has terrible injury history. And, I think he'll start. I mean, Jared from Spring Hill is sitting here talking about how he hopes they sit him. I mean, seriously, if you're a Titans fan, you're like, you know, I really hope Cam Ward sits this year. I want to watch that team. Like, because we haven't had enough miserable football to watch lately. Let's do that. But, you know, I think he'll. I think if he plays every game, and look, they're going to lose more than they win, I believe. They're going to be behind in some games. There's going to be some empty calories in there. You know, he can have games where he doesn't play that well and throw for 250 plus. So, yeah, I'll buy.
I'll buy as well. I think he'll end up around 3,500. That's kind of my line frame, which, as Ian said, it's not a huge number when you start talking about 3,200 where the line is. But you are talking about a rookie. You're talking about an offense that has a lot of unproven parts to it, and we'll see how those parts come together and what they look like. I will buy. I don't feel great about it, which is why it's probably the line on FanDuel Sportsbook, so good job by them. But I will buy that he throws for more than 3,200 yards. All right, speaking of Cam Ward. Cam Ward will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He is, just for reference, his odds are plus 380. He is number two on the list. Ashton Jeanthe, number one, at plus 250. Cam Ward will win Offensive Rookie of the Year this year for the Titans, which, if you look back through this specifically and you're going through Offensive Rookie of the Year, we start talking about some of these awards and how they basically turn into quarterback awards. It hasn't always been the case with this one. Yes, Jaden Daniels just won, and yes, C.J. Stroud won the year before. You're talking about two pretty exceptional rookie seasons. You've had Garrett Wilson tossed in there. Ja'Marr Chase won his rookie year. You did have Herbert in there that's won. So there have been some different positions that have been a part of this. So, Joe, we start with you. Cam Ward will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Do you buy or do you sell?
I'll quickly sell that one. I got to see a lot of things come together for the offense to be able to function to the level required for that to happen. And obviously, he will have a lot. If he's great, he can elevate without question. But there are still things that are out of his control. that right now I have questions about. So I'm gonna sell and feel pretty good about selling.
Ian Savard, will Cam Ward win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award?
I will also sell. Unfortunately not. It'll probably be a wide receiver.
I like Genty. I think Genty's a great.
Yeah, could be him,
I think
too.
He's the right guy.
Yeah.
By the way, just favorite. For reference, like, Genty is the favorite at +250, Cam Ward at +380, and then the odds dip a little bit, and it goes Travis Hunter at +900 for number three on the list.
Hmm. Okay.
That seems to upset you.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, whatever. Do whatever you want, Jacksonville.
I'm buying. He's winning. Yeah? Okay. He's quarterback, man. Wow. He's winning it. He's okay. Number one pick. He's the quarterback. If he does what I just said, let's say he throws for around 3,500 yards. I don't know. The Titans end up winning 6 or 7 games. I mean, could Ashton Genty win it? Sure. Of course he could. And he may run for 1,500 yards his first year in the league. I have no idea. You know, I don't think any of these guys, whether it's Genty, Ward, Hunter, who are the top three on the list, are going to be doing a whole lot of winning of football games. Like, I don't think you're going to see most of those teams in the playoff mix by the time it comes around. So it's probably not going to come down to, like, hey, which team's the best? I don't think. So we'll see. I mean, I guess you could always have
maybe
to leave
somebody
room
else
for
somebody
surprise.
Else.
Maybe somebody, yeah, maybe yeah, it's Tet McMillan, right? Team. Like, maybe Tet McMillan figures it out. You know, there's interesting options here. I mean, Jackson Dart, does he step in and play great for the Giants? Who knows?
Sure.
So you never really know with these things, but I'll buy. I'm saying Cam Ward, Offensive Rookie of the Year when this thing's said and done at the end of the year, Joe Rexroth.
Okay.
All right. Gunnar Helm at the tight end spot for the Titans will have more than 5.5 touchdowns. 5.5 is where I'm setting the line. Will you buy or will you sell Gunnar Helm? More than 5.5 touchdowns this year.
I think he definitely has a chance to become a heavy volume tight end in this offense. That's a good one. That's a good line. I'll sell. But, you know, it's not like you're asking that much to get 6 touchdowns. It's just, and it's not like he's trying to get past, you know, Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, there's not much in front of him.
But I'll still sell. I just a lot of the offensive stuff, it's like, yeah, let me see some things function.
Yeah. Ian Safar, buy or sell Gunnar Helm, 5.5 touchdowns.
Yeah. A little too optimistic for me. 5.5 is a little much.
You are sell
Ian's
everything.
Down on tight.
Sell this whole team.
Pretty much.
Sell the franchise.
I mean, it's hard to blame.
I mean, until I, you know, right now at this point, I'm just not feeling it. Yeah,
I don't blame you.
Yeah, so you don't need to explain it.
I will be selling this as well, especially 5.5 for a rookie. You have to go back.
Well, I'm thinking the reason I landed at 5.5 is because I'm looking at the rest of this team right now, and I'm like,
who's going to catch touchdowns?
Who in the world scoring touchdowns for them in the red zone? Yeah. Like, who's catching
the
touchdowns?
I mean, for the tight end position, I think in general, if you group them all, I think there's a chance you could get closer to 10 if you go Helm, Chig, and Wiley and group them up. But I don't know if I can get to 6 for an individual.
Jared from Spring Hill's buying on Helm, so there's no other red zone target on the text line. I will sell as well. If he got 6 touchdowns this year, I'd say, yeah, good job for you, bud. I think he can turn into a pretty good red zone weapon for them. And again, I'm looking at their roster right now. I don't really know who that's going to be. I mean, in all seriousness, we laugh about NWI. Dude scored a lot of touchdowns for bad offense last year. They're going to need to find a way to replace that. So I will sell on the Gunnar Helm front. I got some more questions to get to. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. We'll continue. Titans buy or sell coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Titans buy or sell? Throwing some questions out there. Do you buy or do you sell? A lot of different thoughts on the text line. We got a bonus question from Trevor who asked, will Treylon Burks touch the field for more than 3 or 5 games? I'm going to sell. I don't think he's going to be on the team by the time week one rolls around.
Yeah, I'll sell on that one too.
How about this one? This is going to be interesting. I'm interested to see what you guys think about this. A single member of the Titans, doesn't matter who, somebody on this defense will have 7 or more sacks this year. Somebody. I don't care who it is. Jeffrey Simmons, Arden Key, Draymond Jones, Oladejo. Somebody will have 7 or more sacks on this Titans team this year. Do you buy or do you sell?
Key would certainly, to me, be the favorite for that.
He's never reached 7 in his career.
And so, thank you. I'll sell. I was going to sell, but I'll sell. Even I was going to think about it for a minute. I'll just sell.
Key has reached 6.5 twice. He did 6.5 last year, 6.5 in 2021 in San Francisco. He's never reached 7. Simmons has reached 7.
Wasn't Jones, Draymond Jones, double digits last year?
Draymond Jones
I thought
was,
he was 10 last year, I wanted to say, when he got signed. I should have looked that up before.
He was 4 last year.
Oh,
so
good
he
Lord.
He has only reached his single season high is 6.5, which he has also done twice. So him and Art Gee have both hit 6.5 twice. I think if memory serves me correctly, and I will double check this real quick, Simmons' career high is, I believe, 8.5. But I will double check that.
That sounds about right. Probably 2021, right?
8.5, 2021. That's the career high.
Yeah. Yeah. Feeling good on the sell here. Let's keep selling.
I mean, think about that, though. Like, this is, you're talking about a 17 game NFL season, and we're asking somebody to get to 7. I don't think it's a huge number.
Yeah, it's not, but sell.
Ian Safar, buy or sell? Will a single Titan get to 7 or more sacks?
I'll go sell. Yeah, maybe. Maybe Simmons can make it. You know, maybe Sweat can have. I don't think he'll reach 7, but maybe he'll have more of an impact in the pass rush this year.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 for a rookie for Oladejo, that seems a bit
high.
A bit of a stretch,
especially for a kid who basically just started playing the position.
So yeah, I think I'll have to sell.
I think I'm selling too, which makes me very nervous about this defense, right? I mean, like, Simmons needs to be that guy, right? Now, we've talked about this before. The position that he plays doesn't always necessarily lend itself to sacks. But, they're paying him a lot of money, and he needs to get after the quarterback. 2023, Simmons had 5.5 sacks. Last year, he had 5. So he has not reached that 7 mark since 2022. So is he going to do it this year? And when he's 3 years removed from it, I don't know. But I feel like he's probably the one that's got the best shot. I mean, I guess, you know, Arden Key's hanging around. He's never done it before. He's gotten close a couple times, but I will sell, which is a depressing state of the defense.
You need to come up with something that Ian will buy. Like, well, the Titans scored 2 touchdowns as a team this year. 2.5. Buy or sell, Ian?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe.
Ian's making a lot of money.
Maybe I should have taken the buy on the Cam Ward yards. Okay. Now that I think about it, but
no, I like your sell. We got Brian on the text line putting the trading places in me, like sell. Mortimer and Randolph Duke, sell. There you go.
Beautiful. All right, Legarius Sneed will play 10 or more games for the Titans this year. Do you buy or do you sell? 10 or more games. Again, this is not a hard thing to reach.
No, but that's a good question. That's right around where I put it. 10. You know, I'll buy. I understand how it looks. Missing all this practice time, and then he, you know, whatever.
Quad, for reference, he played 5 last year,
and now he's got the other stuff. But I think sometimes it also just, you have a bad luck year, you have a good luck year. Obviously, the Titans badly need him to be available and be good and all those things. I'll buy.
Okay.
I'll buy that he's going to get past that stuff and play. But certainly you could see a scenario where, again, last year had the quad. He's always had the knee. Not always, but he's had the knee, where it's just like he's just broken down. That's possible, but I'm going to buy.
Ian, 10 games or more for Legarius Sneed. Do you buy or do you sell?
I want to buy. I do. You know, I do wonder at some point if he struggles again, kind of like he did in the first half of the season. Like, does he just tap out?
He just calls, pulls the plug?
Yeah. Like, if it goes 7 games, 8 games, it's not going well. People are on him because they're like, now that he's playing and he's not playing well and you paid him the money. And so it's like a combo thing and it starts to wear on him. I wouldn't be surprised if he tapped out. So I'm going to go under. Sell.
I'm selling too. This is the one I sold the quickest in my mind. I was like, I just don't trust it. I don't trust it. I mean, you got all the knee stuff going on, the quad stuff, and now you've got the legal situation. No, he's not getting the 10, which would be incredibly disappointing.
Remember this, I'm the one who bought.
You are.
When he's Defensive Player of the Year.
All right, last one games before we get to Adam in Portland coming up here in just a few minutes. Brian Callahan will be the head coach of the Titans by the time the next NFL draft comes around. Do you buy or do you sell?
Great question.
Thank you. There's some heavy thought going on. I guess I should have asked somebody to go first. Joe, you go first.
I'm stumbling over my thoughts.
Can make it a sweep for me.
I feel like I'm a little bit too.
He's selling.
I'm selling. All the way.
I'm worried about Brian
Callahan. I'm gonna buy. And you know, it's funny because the last two, it's not like it's one guy is that important, but it's stuff like that that I think could make a difference, right? Yep. Like you actually have a guy who you guys paid a lot for, who was complete nothing last year. He played this year. And, hey, some of these rookies are actually producing this year, and so on and so forth. I feel like Brian Callahan, a lot of Titans fans are really down on him. It's really interesting, I think, with some of our listeners, how down on him some people are. I still think he's a smart guy. I think he has something to offer. You have to go by the product based on 1 year. Not good at all. Not encouraging. But I still think that the Cam Ward thing, the chance that they will have a good relationship, the chance that he will get good football out of Cam Ward, the possibility that, frankly, just Will Levis didn't take it to the field, but that still, like, the coaching was sound. I think all these things are possible. And so I think they're not going to have a great year, but I think I'm going to go with Cam Ward looking good enough and that relationship looking solid enough that the Titans decide, you know what, we need to keep going with this. So I'll buy. That's a long way of barely getting to buy.
I'm selling. I don't trust the Titans to not fire someone. I don't. I don't trust them to not fire someone. And look, maybe we get to a point this season where you look at it and you say, yeah, they just need to cut the cord and move on. I don't know, man. I mean, we went through the stats earlier the offseason. Like, when you're a coach and you get the number one overall pick, like, how many of those guys just don't make it beyond another year? It's hard for me to ignore that. And I understand everything you just said makes sense. And it's probably the way they should proceed, unless it's an absolute disaster that he should be the coach. I'm with you. I just don't trust him to do it. I'm selling on Brian Callahan being the coach by the next draft rolling around.
I get it. Keith says it appears Ian's time with Stilly has really affected his optimism.
It might be.
A straight sweep of sales for Ian.
I don't.
He didn't buy a single thing.
I'm sure those aren't going to be correct, but at this point.
I'd like to keep track of
it. I would like to point out that, you know, when Stilly did one of his, you know, his going through the schedules last year of the should wins and the should loses and all that.
Our exercise.
I think Ian said they're not going to be very good. I think he had him at 4. They won 3.
You were
Ian's got the finger on the pulse.
So you were the lowest win total, I think, at the station. Good job.
Yeah.
Man. See?
You nailed it almost.
I don't know.
You're right.
I don't know if the combination of the roster with the new coach and everything. I am worried about Callahan. I think he might be a little in over his head.
Well, that's possible.
Right now, until proven otherwise, he's a 3-14 head coach.
So he definitely seems like a smart guy, super nice guy, all that kind of stuff, you know? But I mean, neither quarterback was able to operate the offense at all last year. So, I don't know.
We'll see. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. Let me tell you how lucky you guys are to have Ian, by the way, because I'm in lockstep with this guy and what he's saying right now. And I don't want to be. Like, I go back to Myles Garrett. Well, Myles Garrett's like, I don't know any Titans players. I'm like, oh, exactly. And we had Dan Moore. and then a rookie, and you expect some success having a rookie come. I'm like, if NWI, I felt like, had a touchdown every week and only ended up with like 8 or 9, there's no way he even sniffs 3. Like, it's just whack, dude. But yeah,
three?
Man, I've been listening to Ian for years, and like almost every show. And if he says somebody, I'm worried about this guy, that means he's going, he sucks. He just doesn't say that. He doesn't say players suck. But that's his way of going, this dude sucks, man. And like Callahan specifically, when nice coaches suck, fans turn hard, dude. They're like, this is beta. We need an alpha. We need Mike Vrabel. When we hated Vrabel at the end. So I don't know, dude. Like, I worry about this whole team. So I'm with Ian right there. I think they're all pretty bad.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it. Adam down.
Sell.
On the Titans. Got more on the Titans to get into coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. What is the best approach for Titans fans to take when it comes to how all in they're going with Cam Ward as the year goes along? I have some thoughts on that that really relate to Titans history coming up next. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.